Time for some fabulous female facts. All right, let's get Amy Simon on the phone. And I even came up with a new intro for her. You guys tell me if this works, okay?
I am strong.
Hello?
I got a $20 gold fee, says there ain't nothing I can do. I am invincible. I can make a dress out of a feed bag, and I can make a man out of you.
Invincible.
Because I'm a woman. W-O-M-A-N. I am woman.
All right, I don't know if my little mashup there worked, Amy. I tried to put together an intro for you. Did it work?
No. I kind of didn't hear the whole thing because there's a time lapse from when I turn off my computer to answer the phone. So I heard something about a $20 bill.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll have to send it to you. I have to tweak it. It's not quite there yet, but working on it. Anyway, Amy Simon, the founder, the writer, the performer of She's History, the most dangerous women in America then and now. Find her at sheshistory.com. So, what's on your mind today, Amy?
Oh, a couple of things, but first I must comment on another talent of yours that you've kept a secret until now, your amazing sound effects. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes, the sound of the ass-kissing and dick-sucking done by Petraeus and Fox.
You are a dangerous woman.
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.
I just love you. You've got brass ones, honey.
Oh, thank you.
All right, well,
I'm going to talk.
You're welcome. I would like to chat today about a couple of fabulous females, two in particular, each one named Maud.
Maud?
One on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Maud.
B. Arthur? Sorry, did I step on you?
Yeah, okay, B. Arthur. You know what? When we hear the name Maud, we think of B. Arthur. And hopefully your listeners will hear the name Maud and think of Maud Younger and Maud Nathan. Fabulous.
See, isn't that sad? Because I think of B. Arthur, but you know what? Her character Maud on that TV show from the 70s is, was a champion for women's rights,
and that show
and her character really stood up for choice. Because if I remember correctly, there was a whole issue, an episode, and an issue about the episode about abortion.
You know, that sounds familiar, and once again, you have inspired me.
I know I'm
going
to have to. I'm going to look it up while you're talking. Tell us about the other Mauds that I didn't know about, and I'll help you at the end of it.
I will, but you know, now that you mentioned B. Arthur and Maud, I would like to just mention that I grew up in Queens, New York, and my parents and I were part of the Queens Community Playhouse, where I started doing my acting. And Estelle Getty, who was really named Estelle Gettleman, she was at that playhouse too. So my parents actually did some community acting with Estelle Getty, who was Maud's mother.
Okay, now I found it. Yes, and I was right. And our memories, you know, sometimes play tricks on us when we get older, but sometimes things stick. Maud, she was a 47-year-old grandmother with a dilemma, an unexpected pregnancy. It was 1972, the year before Roe v. Wade made abortion the law of the land. Even though she lived in New York State where the procedure was legal, the decision on whether to carry the baby to term wasn't easy. And so, 20—well, this article was from 1992, so it's 40 years ago. Shit. 40 years ago, Maud Finley, the lead character on one of TV's most popular shows, chose to get an abortion. There you go.
Wow.
40 years ago. Wow.
I'm going to have to do something about women TV shows.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, let's chat about the Mauds that I want to, from, you know, me. I'm just in love with these women from history. And I'm so drawn to these women like Maud Younger and Maud Nathan because they were rich and they had a conscience. And that combination in a woman was just fantastic because they decided to use their money for good. So first we'll start with Maud Nathan, who was a New York woman. She was born in 1862 in New York, and she had a really cool pedigree family. She came from a very distinguished Sephardic Jewish family. Her first cousin was Emma Lazarus, who was the one that wrote Give Us Your Tired, Your Poor. Yeah, that was her first cousin. Her sister, her name was Annie Nathan Meyer, and she was an author and started Barnard College.
Wow.
Which is very, you know, cool pedigree, excuse me. And her other cousin was a Supreme Court Justice, Benjamin Nathan Cardoza. And later in her life, after Maud Nathan, I'll tell you about the beginnings, when she got going and started to become an activist and started to champion women's vote, her family was not behind her. They did not support women voting. which always kills me, that these women stand up to their families because. So, at 17, Maud Nathan, she married her cousin, and you know, back then, Eleanor Roosevelt married her sixth cousin, you know.
Right.
People married within their family. So she married her first cousin at the age of 17.
Oy.
They had a daughter who died at the age of 8. So she was a mother with, you know, terrible grief. But what happened was she hooked up with a woman named Josephine Shaw Lowell. And together they started what was called the Consumer League in New York City in the late 1800s. And it was a reform industry. Their whole philosophy was to improve working conditions. That's what my whole little bit today is about, women who wanted to improve the working conditions of women. That's where these two Mauds began. And then they ended up doing work for women's vote and suffrage, and because they understood, especially Maud Nathan, she first tried to go up to Albany to lobby, but when she realized that women couldn't vote, so they couldn't make any change that way, what happened was they became friends. There was a woman named Alice Woodbridge.
Mm-hmm.
Maud Nathan and the Consumer League, they ended up going to factories and shops, but she really got her social consciousness raised by helping sales clerks. What happened was there was a sales clerk, this lovely little woman named Alice Woodbridge in the 1800s who worked in New York City. The working conditions for sales girls was unbelievable. Maud Nathan wrote a fantastic book called An Epic-Making Movement, The Story of an Epic-Making Movement. And she chronicles the working conditions of women in New York City, mostly in the shops, and how these girls would work 18,000-hour days, and they couldn't even sit down on stools, and they would lower the lights in the evening so that the shoppers would walk by and be enticed to come in and shop around. And these women had nowhere to sit. They didn't have a break room. They would stick their personal belongings in the basement, and after like a 14-hour day, they'd go downstairs to the dark, and their stuff would be missing, and if they reported it, they lost their job. And then they'd work these horrible long hours with no decent conditions, nowhere to sit or eat or go to the bathroom, and then they'd have to go home and clean their own homes. And the story of these women is so heartbreaking. So this beautiful girl named Alice Woodbridge, and the way I've learned about this is I read these women's books, and Maud Nathan wrote two books. So in her Epic Making Movement book, she describes Alice Woodbridge, who was this beautiful, beautiful girl, very fair-skinned with red hair. She ended up being a sales girl because every other job she got hit on so much by the men that she could never, you know, feel comfortable. So she worked hard in these horrible working conditions and decided that the only way to improve the working conditions would be to let the women who frequented the stores, the consumers, the customers. Alice Woodbridge, this beautiful, fair-haired working girl, decided to let the rich women who shopped there know what was going on. It was such a brilliant thing, and she was a very shy girl. And the segment in the book, the story where Alice Woodbridge got in touch with Josephine Lowell, Josephine Shaw Lowell was another very rich woman in New York City who had a social conscience, and she was friends with Maud Nathan, and that's how they started the Consumer League. But it started with this little girl named Alice Woodbridge. So they had a meeting, and the way it's described in her book, it's so heartbreaking that Alice Woodbridge, she gets up in front of all these rich people, and she begins to describe the working conditions. And the women, like, and the way that Maud Nathan talks about it in her book, she said, "I was just a 35-year-old, well-to-do woman who looked after my home and my husband, and this meeting opened my eyes to the injustices of the world." And this is what I love so much about the women that I talk about, the work I do with She's History, is that, and it's so different from the people from today, you know, especially after what we just went through with the Romneys and, you know, the terrible gap we have in our society today. And the women that I'm drawn to back then, they got it. They said, "Why do we have so much?" And they weren't socialists or communists. They simply had a conscience. And they saw, and of course, this was also during in New York, this huge immigrant movement, and my whole family were immigrants in the Lower East Side of New York and lived in those horrible tenement houses, so I have a personal interest as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there was such a disparity in New York City with the immigrants, and, you know, that's when they started the settlement houses with Lillian Wald, who I performed at her home, you know, 2 weeks ago in New York, the Henry Street Settlement. So anyway, Maud Nathan and Josephine Lowell got together, and they called all their rich friends, and they had these meetings, and they reported it in the New York Times, and they began their reform work, and they started the Consumer League. And their philosophy was basically get the customers to know what's going on to force the change, and they did. And Maud Nathan ended up, she was also known as one of the first women rabbis to speak in a temple. So there were lots and lots of firsts, you know, all these women I talk about. Oh, she was the first one to do this. But she was amazing, and she ended up with she worked with the League of Women Voters, the National Council of Jewish Women, the General Federation of Women's Clubs, which is a national organization which is still up and running today. There are GFWCs, sure, they're called, all over the country. Yeah, so this was all, Maud Nathan was right there in the beginning of it all, and I just absolutely love that. And in the beginning of her book, Carrie Chapman Catt wrote a foreword. Carrie Chapman Catt was one of the major pioneers that got the 19th Amendment passed, the women's right to vote. So she wrote a foreword in Maud Nathan's book because they were buddies. And I love this one little quote of Carrie Chapman Catt. She said, "A square deal had not been meted out to their sex, to women." That's basically what the whole thing is about, a square deal. Everybody gets a shot. There's not this giant gap. So that's a little bit of my Maud Nathan story. And I know I only have 5 minutes, but now I want to talk about another Maud.
Okay.
Maud Younger was another rich, well-to-do woman born into privilege in San Francisco. She was born in 1870. And she was known as the millionaire waitress. She was amazing. What happened was she grew up rich and privileged. Her father was a dentist. She went to all the best schools. She went to visit New York City. I think it was 1901. This is, of course, 10 years before the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, which had a huge impact on working conditions starting in New York and everywhere else. So she goes to New York, and she sees the working conditions of women, and she decides that she's going to do something about it. She doesn't want to go to Europe and hang out with her family and be a debutante. No, she wants to do what these other fabulous females, make the world better. So she goes undercover, much like Gloria Steinem did in the 70s. I don't know if your listeners remember, and I'm here to remind you, that Gloria Steinem went undercover as a Playboy bunny.
Right.
This is how she really got pretty much famous, is she exposed the working conditions of Playboy bunnies because she went undercover and wrote about it. Well, Maud Younger did it before Gloria did it. She went undercover as a waitress, and she is actually responsible for the 8-hour workday. Maud Younger. Love that. So she becomes a waitress. She's disgusted about it. She joins, there happens to be a waitress union in New York City. She joins it. She was 30 years old when this happened.
Amy, let me interrupt for 1 second, because the fact is that maybe Maud Younger and her union, because we do credit unions for the 8-hour workday, but I guess it came through her work.
No, she's the one that got the 8-hour workday. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up unions, because I wanted to talk about that as well, because, the labor, of course, unions are the ones that enforced all the good child labor and every other labor. And the first union in the United States was actually in 1867. It was the Cigar Makers Union, and in 1869, the Printers Union. And these were very important to the women's movement because most of their employees were women.
Right,
so that
wow.
was the first union, 1867. And it was also the first women, first unions to admit women, because most of their employees were women.
Wow.
And the best known women's union was in New York. It was called the Troy Collar Laundry Union, where they made men's shirts. They made these separate collars for men's shirts. So that's where the union started back in the 1800s.
Okay.
So anyway, back to Maud Younger. I actually played Maud Younger in a documentary last year. A wonderful woman named Martha Wheelock is a documentary filmmaker, women's history professor she used to be, and I met her when I performed my show, and she happened to be in the audience, and we became friends. And in 1911, it was the 100th anniversary of women winning the vote in California. So Martha Wheelock made a film called California Women Win the Vote. Mm. And I played Maud Younger, the millionaire waitress. So your listeners can go to wildwestwomen.org and they can get the film.
Right, okay.
So anyway, the thing about Maud Younger, besides the fact that she was rich with a conscience and did all this wonderful stuff, was she was very flamboyant. And, you know, you need that to attract attention. So she would do all these things like she got into a parade. She was the first woman to drive a float in a parade for the women's right to vote. After she did all her wonderful work with unions and with the waitress, she went back to California to start the waitresses union in California. She did that based on what she learned in New York. But she did all these cool things, like she drove from New York, Nashville, from San Francisco to New York, she drove solo in an automobile all by herself, the first woman to drive from one coast to the other by herself in a car. This was a huge deal. And this was in 1920, after the women got the vote. So when she started to do work for the unions and for working women, she became involved with the suffrage movement. Everything led to the suffrage movement because the women realized without the power to vote, they were powerless. So even Maud Younger, Maud Nathan, all of them, all these women ended up working, well, not all of them, but most of them, ended up working for women to get the right to vote. And they would do these stunts to get attention. So she would drive across the country in an automobile. She would drive a float in a parade with six horses. Women would just do these stunts to get attention and draw attention to the fact that women couldn't vote until women got the vote. And then when women got the vote, there were other things we needed. Gosh, we still need stuff today, like equal pay, you know.
Right.
It never ends.
Right.
Never ends. But here's the story of my two Mauds. I'd love, you know, they're both on Fabulous Female Facts on cheesehistory.com, and maybe you want to go check it out.
All right. And then I emailed you the third Maud story about how TV's Maud brought the issue of choice to a national audience on TV, on network TV,
wow,
as this
major
country was debating Roe v. Wade, something that would never happen today. So
right.
I emailed you that story, too.
That probably led to the Murphy Brown
situation. Maud was first.
Yeah.
Anyway, Amy Simon, find her, excuse me, at cheesehistory.com. I'm here every Wednesday morning. Thank you, Amy.